Welcome everybody to our weekly study group. As we usually do, let's just begin our call with taking a few moments to invite right-mindedness to return to us. Perhaps if we've forgotten about it and have chosen to listen to the ego again. So inviting the Holy Spirit in. Placing the Holy Spirit in charge. Taking a nice mindful breath. And let's do some reading. So, if you have the Sparkle Edition, we are on page 188. It would be the very last paragraph that we'll be starting with. It begins, "Remember that the Bible says." So again, Sparkle Edition, page 188. If you have the original edition, I just lost the page. It is page 159. It is chapter 8, paragraph 59. Also begins, "Remember that the Bible says." And then if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 152. Paragraph number 7, so it's chapter 8, paragraph number 7. And it begins, "The Bible says." It's going to be, you'll notice if you're following along with the FIP edition, some differences here and there, but it's for the most part the same. Okay, so we're midsection, and let's pick up where we left off last week. "Remember that the Bible says, the word or thought was made flesh. Strictly speaking, this is impossible, since it seems to involve the translation of one order of reality into another. Different orders of reality merely appear to exist, just as different orders of miracles do. Thought cannot be made into flesh except by belief, since thought is not physical. Yet thought is communication for which the body can be used. This is the only natural use to which it can be put. To use the body unnaturally is to lose sight of the Holy Spirit's purpose and thus to confuse the goal of his curriculum." So I'll just pause there for a moment. And what we're going to be getting into is just the same idea of basically giving the body to the Holy Spirit to be reinterpreted for us, to be seen through the eyes of spirit rather than through the eyes of the ego. When, towards the end of the paragraph that we just read, it says, "Yet thought is communication for which the body can be used." So that's what we're, the idea that we're going with here is that the body is simply a means of communication, and to use it for anything other than that is to misuse it, basically, is to see it as the ego sees it, as an end in and of itself, rather than for the Holy Spirit's purpose, for communication with the Holy Spirit. And please, if anybody has any comments or questions, jump right in. I'll read the next paragraph. "There is nothing so frustrating to a learner as to be placed in a curriculum which he cannot learn. His sense of adequacy suffers, and he must become depressed. Being faced with an impossible learning situation, regardless of why it is impossible, is the most depressing thing in the world. In fact, it is ultimately why the world is depressing. The Holy Spirit's curriculum is never depressing because it is a curriculum of joy. Whenever the reaction to learning is depression, it is only because the goal of the curriculum has been lost sight of." You know, it's funny, what comes up for me in this paragraph, how it says, "Being faced with an impossible learning situation, regardless of why it is impossible, is the most depressing thing in the world. In fact, it is ultimately why the world is depressing." So if you think about this, you know, if we, what do we try to do here except find salvation, find whatever it is that's going to make us happy, and we're looking for it out there. And because that's a lesson that is impossible to learn, because that happiness isn't in anything outside of us, if we keep looking out there, ultimately we're going to experience that depression, because we're in an impossible learning situation with trying to seek outside of ourselves. So the thing that is also, it doesn't directly say this in this paragraph, but it's implied with the Holy Spirit's curriculum being a curriculum of joy, is that this is a curriculum that we can learn, that we already have learned. We just have to accept the fact that we've already learned this and are already home. So our success, again, is guaranteed. That's what comes up for me in that paragraph.
Boy, the way you just explained that is just brilliant. And it's, I mean, the Course is constantly saying this. I've heard it 100 million times. Mm-hmm. But really keeping that uppermost in your mind, it's challenging here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I lose sight of it. I just lose sight of it so much and so often.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
Oh, my God.
You know, also with what you just said, what comes up for me too is, so I know I've referenced so many times Dr. Evan Alexander's book, Proof of Heaven, but it, I feel, has just helped me so much in almost giving more of a picture to, a visual almost to, you know, what the Course is teaching with, like, where it's bringing us. And both in Dr. Evan Alexander's account of his near-death experience, and in, what was the other book, Anita Mordani, Dying to Be Me. That was another near-death experience book, related book that I read recently. And both of them talked about how when they were in this place, it was as if somebody turned on the light. Suddenly their awareness was so expanded beyond anything that we can possibly conceive of here. And Dr. Alexander talked about how, like, the brain is really a device for, like, blocking out and for, you know, having, like, a very, very narrow focus. And so the idea that the Course is helping us to remember, the Course is helping us to learn once again how to allow our awareness to be expanded. So we can't do that ourselves. So if we think about, you know, just like, okay, well, you know, I want my awareness to expand. I want to be more aware of the infinite. Great. You know, you can want that all you want, but we can't force it to happen. And it's, again, the key of the Holy Spirit being that bridge between us and our awareness, our expanded awareness of love, of truth. It's then simply our task to just keep turning to the Holy Spirit. So I don't remember, Paula, what you said and what my point was in trying to link to what you said. I lost that piece, but I wanted to bring that
no,
up also.
No, but it's absolutely, again, you just brought it right to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is that light that gives us the idea that opens us to joy and to peace, and it's so practical.
Mm-hmm.
So incredibly practical. I'm amazed by it. But it's, again, you know, being in the moment and remembering in these situations that occur in life, you know, to call on him.
Mm-hmm.
And all those
things where we forget, those situations where we forget, that's what you mentioned that made me think of this, that's what they're all, in a sense, they're all here. The purpose of all of it is to distract us from this greater truth, from this, you know, this willingness to expand our awareness. And at the same time, because the Holy Spirit will use everything that the ego has made, you know, the ego has made everything to be a big distraction because there's so much going on and to pay attention to out there. The Holy Spirit will also use it upon, you know, on behalf of our return to that awareness as well. And so that's, you know, as we build that muscle, so to speak, of remembering in our mind to turn to the Holy Spirit, we can bring all of those distractions, whatever the circumstance is that seems to be out there, we can bring all of that to Spirit to be used to help us to, again, return to that awareness of the truth of what we all are.
And it's almost instantaneous anymore. You know, as soon as I remember to do it, I get wonderful shifts,
mm-hmm.
practical, wonderful things
yeah.
happen. Like, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I had an experience today. I'm walking on the boardwalk now. It is cold, and it's just gorgeous down there today. And surfers were flying off their surfboards and the waves were like 40 feet high, and it was just, I was like in heaven. But I had to go to the bathroom so bad, I was just going to wet my pants. And I literally prayed about it. I mean, I'm sorry, I hope I'm not embarrassing myself.
No, not at all.
But I literally said, I'm not turning around, I'm not going home, I want to continue this walk, would you help me? And I'm not kidding, I got through it effortlessly. And as I'm getting through it, I'm thinking, yeah, this is really pretty cool. This is really quite amazing. I was amazed by it, because really the desire just, I mean, it just became fine. And I was able to enjoy the entire walk. And
that's awesome.
I mean, that sounds kind of, I didn't know whether I should really talk about that or not, but I was stunned by it in a way. That's how basically practical this is.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Paula, you say we are not, remember, we are not a body?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Because I think, in a sense, you know, really, when you do turn it over to the Holy Spirit, you transcend the body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but I just thought that was,
that's,
I got
awesome
such
example.
A kick out of that.
Such
that's
a practical,
good
practical
too, 'cause sometimes it's, you forget that something can happen that fast. I mean, for me at least, I keep trying to remember to surrender things to the Holy Spirit, and that's what came out of last week's call for me. Like during the week when I would start to crash and think, oh, I just did all this all wrong, I remembered what Corinne was saying about surrendering it. So I would do that, and then my ego would say, well, nothing's happening, so why are you even doing this? And then I knew that that was the ego too, and I would just surrender that. And it's good to hear stories of people where they have kind of a moment where of that recognition of resonance that something did just shift.
Yeah,
and I think really the diligence to just stay with it and to just say, you know, that's the ego's voice. That's the ego's voice. The hell with it. I'm not going to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, do it. Do it. Help me. Help me.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, too, because the ego will sneak in anywhere. And it was so funny because this week, how do I sum this up quickly? I, as you all know, teach counseling classes, and one of my students, who has never taken this one particular class that I teach, happened to be talking about it and was like, he said something to the effect of, oh, I've heard not good things, you know, about that class. And I heard that, and I didn't say anything, so I was like, well, I'm not going to make him feel, you know, uncomfortable because I'm the one teaching that class. And my ego, oh, I beat myself up, and I was like, I am not, you know, I just must not be good at this. I'm not, blah, 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 blah. And it really, again, it'll find any little crack to work its way into. And it wasn't, it took me a couple days to finally hand it over, and I'm back to today being like, you know what, I've done a darn good job covering what I need to cover, and this person never even had my class, so what the hell, you know, like, he's just talking just to talk. So it's just, it's the ego isn't going to stop, you know, throwing these hooks, is that we learn how to not listen to it. We learn how to be like, oh, there you are again, you know, no thanks, handing you over. So it's not that, you know, voice, Maybe it'll really diminish at some point, but in my experience thus far, it's that, you know, it's not that we're going to, as I've said before from the course, it's not that we're going to stop having ego thoughts, it's that we have none that we would keep. So it's just a matter of, like we were saying, of just noticing, catching it, being mindful for when it comes up, and just having that willingness to see it differently.
Yeah.
And just another practical example. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say another practical example is that I was, it's the end of the semester, so things have been quite intense. And part of what I've needed to do has been write questions for the upcoming comprehensive exam that pertain to my class. And I was just, I tried the other day and was just struggling and was really like, oh, this isn't coming together. And then, you know what I remembered to do? I remembered to ask for help, and I remembered to hand the whole thing over. And then the next time that I sat down, I literally wrote all the questions in one sitting, and it was effortless. It flowed. So even with those little, you know, things that we think we have to do on our own, we can ask for help for those too.
That is so fabulous.
That's another good one to hear. That was a really good example to hear. I was thinking of what you were saying before, though, with that person who was saying that, and it's like I notice mine will come up, the ego will come up, in that it wants to be right and not happy. Mm-hmm. And I keep catching that. I'm like, why do I keep falling into this? Like, I know that it's the ego, but I just get caught up in it so easily. And I guess maybe it's just one of those things where over time it starts to get a little bit better, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know what? Honestly, though, without that kind of contrast, the contrast is really good because over time it really strengthens your faith in the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I'm still amazed at times how I'll go through, you know, like a week of processing, like kind of struggling with it. And then, you know, I'll see the results of keeping my focus on the Holy Spirit. And I just feel stronger in my faith, you know. So if we didn't have that, I don't know. I'm trying to say it's really not that bad a thing.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That resonates with me a lot, actually.
Because over time, I guess I've been working with this material since like 1987, and I'm not kidding. It is much better now than it was then. So over time, it really, but the ego's always there to say, no, it isn't. I don't listen to a word of it.
It's peeling back that onion, you know, at first.
It
that
really
onion
is.
Skin is really thick and and you know, as we're just willing, we just start peeling back those layers of the onion, and it gets, you know, easier and easier. In other words, you know, our trust has grown, our vigilance has grown, and so we have the tools that we keep working. And I feel like it, in my experience, it has definitely gotten easier over time. But then, you know, things come up, and I always look at it as, you know, it's never a regression. It's never, you know, I'm taking 10 steps back. It's just another layer of the onion. This is coming up to be healed. That's exactly why it's coming up. There's no other reason. And, you know, it just is the perfect timing for it to come up.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. Let's read another paragraph. I think I'm on the third paragraph. In the world, not even the body, right? Yes. In the world, not even the body is perceived as whole. Its purpose is seen as fragmented into many functions which bear little or no relationship to each other, so that it appears to be ruled by chaos. Guided by the ego, it is. Guided by the Holy Spirit, it is not. It becomes only a means by which the part of the mind you have separated from your soul can reach beyond its distortions and return to the soul. The ego's temple thus becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, where devotion to him replaces devotion to the ego. In this sense, the body does become a temple to God because his voice abides in it by directing the use to which it is put. So here again, we can think about how, where it says, becomes a means by which part of the mind you have separated from your soul can reach beyond its distortions and return to the soul. So again, think about that as simply our, again, expanded awareness returning to knowing what it really is, to becoming aware once again of our soul, of our truth, of the love that we all share. And when we are listening to the ego, you know, the ego's purpose is to separate and to, I just got this image to like scramble up that awareness that we have so we aren't aware of it, versus when we're listening to the Holy Spirit, that's when we're on that path to remembering that wholeness again.
Yeah.
Any thoughts or questions so far? Insights? Examples?
I guess I'm reading ahead a sentence, so I'll just wait and listen and comment after.
Well, let's read the next sentence. Let's read the next paragraph. Healing is the result of using the body solely for communication. Since this is natural, it heals by making whole, which is also natural. All mind is whole, and the belief that part of it is physical or not mind is a fragmented or sick interpretation. Mind cannot be made physical, but it can be made manifest through the physical if it uses the body to go beyond itself. By reaching out, the mind extends itself. It does not stop at the body, for if it does, it is blocked in its purpose. A mind which has been blocked has allowed itself to be vulnerable to attack because it has turned against itself.
I guess
Corinne,
Carol,
go.
It says, you know, that last sentence where it says a mind that has been blocked has allowed itself to be vulnerable to attack because it is turned against itself. I had quite a bit of interaction with my family today, and my sister, who lives in another state, had surgery this morning, actually this afternoon, and the body, the ego, is saying that she has ovarian cancer, and one of my sisters has been down there with her. And the surgery was a success in a lot of ways. And, you know, I heard my sister, through another sister, say that, well, the nurse did this wrong and this happened and that. And I thought, you know, what you think, you draw. And I knew that, actually, my one sister said that when my mom had surgery many years ago, with this surgeon, that my mom drew all these wonderful nurses to her. There was like all this loving care coming to her. And it just feels like, you know, the alignment is off. Mm-hmm. And I'm being very careful as to how I word things. Mm-hmm. And how I, for lack of a better way, get sucked into this. And I'm really looking to feel some peace in knowing that all is well. My two sisters and I do not really coexist very well together. Mm-hmm. And I know, Corinne, I've heard you talk about different family members and how, you know, you just aren't on the same plane. I forget the term that you've used.
I'm not even sure, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so with that, I have been feeling very like I need to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I keep saying is, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And it seems to be working for the moment. But I do, I feel somewhat like a body, like I want to physically be there and attend. And this is helping me very, very much in knowing that you know, I can call on Holy Spirit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I can know that Holy Spirit is attending. But there's that part of me, and it's very much ego, that says, oh, what will they think if I don't really, you know, act like I care? And we talked about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about how, you know, you have to be careful what you say to people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
still at the same time, being kind by honoring where they're at, and if they're in a totally different place and
right.
incapable of hearing any of this spiritual mumbo jumbo, then
right.
you know, expressing love in whatever way it feels authentic, you know, to ourselves, whether it's going there and being there, giving a hug, you know, whatever that may be, that feels you know, the kind thing to do. And then the work that we do, maybe that's unspoken, is this work of taking this picture, you know, that we see to the Holy Spirit, because we're being asked to not trust what our body's eyes are showing us. Because again, if you think again of, you know, what the ego is going to use, the ego is going to use anything that we can see, you know, any witnesses to sickness, etc. It's going to use any of that as a witness for itself. You know, see, you are a body, you can be hurt. So,
right.
And we can't think past that on our own. You know, we need the Holy Spirit to be that bridge for us to see past it. So I love, I know I've referenced this a number of times, but there's a, you know, a passage in the Course that says, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me.
Oh, that's
and
beautiful.
That's such a helpful line for me, because it, you know, it just brings me right back there and be like, okay, you know, I'm giving this to you to judge, because if I judge it myself, I'm just going to see it as painful, or I'm going to try to take the, you know, quote unquote higher road, and I might end up, you know, being in my spiritual ego and causing others pain, because I'm actually still in my ego, even though I think, you know, I'm taking the higher road, so to speak. So I think it's beautiful that you've been using that prayer, the I love you, I'm sorry prayer. And, you know, with how you said, you know, feeling that like the alignment is off, anything that we're seeing that's out there, again, the only work to be done is within, because if we're seeing it out there, it's an idea, it's a thought in our own mind, that's a witness for sickness, and we want to, again, hand that thought over to allow it to be undone, because what we are learning here, and let me actually go back to this paragraph now, it says that, all right, so healing is a result of using the body for communication. Mind cannot be made physical, but it can be made manifest through the physical if it uses the body to go beyond itself. By reaching out, the mind extends itself. It does not stop at the body, for if it does, it's blocked in purpose. So in other words, then it says actually, a mind which has been blocked has allowed itself to be vulnerable to attack. So think about this paragraph. What this says to me is that and what the Course says is that, you know, we are mind, God is mind, and that mind is extending. God, substitute the word love instead of mind. That love is extending. And we, listening to our ego, have blocked that extension. We've blocked that extension at the body, so we think this is all there is. We think that the body is an end, you know, not a means, that the body is worth saving, that it's worth something, that it's, you know, that this is it, basically. And so we, again, can't keep that extension going on our own. We can try, you know, by, like, saying maybe by myself. I've used examples before of, like, times when I've gone on a walk and I've wanted to, like, extend love to everybody and then I end up exhausted. We can try to do that on our own. And, you know, there'll be, I'm sure, lovely things that would come out of that, but the power comes from when we realize that we don't know anything, and we can, again, turn to the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit to extend through us. So it's, again, that key step of turning to spirit. And as we do that, and then, you know, our awareness again starts to extend, it starts to grow, that's where this is saying, if we block that extension of love at the body, so if we think that the body, if that this is it, then that is making us vulnerable to sickness, versus if we're, again, turning to spirit and allowing our perceptions to be undone, we are not arresting, I'm sorry, we're no longer stopping that extension at the body. We're allowing that extension to flow. I'm hoping what I'm saying is making sense. So the key piece for me when I am with somebody who is, you know, maybe going through some illness, or again, when we have family members, friends, relatives who are going through sickness, it sounds so simple, but the best way that we can help them is, again, by taking what we see, taking what we feel, taking even the fear that it elicits in us, and being willing to take that to spirit to allow it to be transformed. And I know that we always say this in 100 different ways, but that's what the Course is teaching us how to do. So I don't know if I just totally rambled or if any of that made sense, but if you...
I think a lot of that made a whole lot of sense.
Okay.
you know, when I was in this situation with my sister and her family, because they became very protective of her, and really didn't want anybody. I'm her sister, and they would hardly let me near her, you know, because they wanted to protect her. But it would make me feel very, you know, like an outsider. But at any rate, when I would go into that situation, I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. Now that, when I would go, and I'm telling you, I had this memorized at that time, because anytime I went into that situation, actually went to her house and went into that situation, I had to go in with this, because if I didn't, I could have caused so much more drama and trouble for myself, and I didn't want that. And I know she didn't want that. My sister didn't want that. And I tell you, it was miraculous. It really helped so much. Because you know, I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what to do other than what I had learned from the past, and that was get angry, rough them up, you know, that whole thing. My sister's sister-in-law at that time, she was a nurse. She worked with dying people. She knew what she was doing, and she went into that situation, and my sister's daughters threw her out. She went in to help, and in the world's way that would tell you you're being helpful, and they literally kicked her out, and she hasn't spoken to them since. And that's 1997 Pat died. So, you know, this, I'm still as close with those girls as I have ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Because it's really pretty simple. You're either gonna maintain that love, or you're not. And this, you know, this, I am here only to be truly helpful. Man, I tell you, that works. That really works.
Such a good reminder.
Thank you.
I hope that was helpful.
Thank you.
Very helpful. Such a good reminder.
And you know, too, when we get sucked into it, I know, Carol, I heard you say that, like feeling yourself sort of sucked into it. It's okay. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so okay. We can't, again, skip over our lessons. We have to go through them. We have to allow ourselves to have the experiences of going through our lessons. So it's, we might have to get, being sucked into it might be, you know, part of going through it. And it's okay if we do find ourselves, you know, being sucked into it and feeling, you know, whatever it is that might come along with that, anger, judgment, fear, whatever that may be, because again, it becomes just another opportunity to look at what's coming up. I love how Nook Sanchez uses the term exhume. I always think of like exhuming like a mummy from like, you know, or exhuming a grave. Like we literally have to exhume all of these unconscious fears and feelings of guilt and, you know, beliefs in the world. We have to exhume them and allow them to come up to allow the light to shine on them with spirit for them to be undone. So those periods where we do feel a lack of peace or sucked into it, you know, it's okay because it's not gonna last. We're gonna move through it.
And the Holy Spirit will literally undo all the consequences when we blow our cool, you know, when we fall on our face, because there were times in that situation where I did fall on my face. I totally fell on my face. And again, just taking it back to the Holy Spirit is always the answer.
Thank you. Yeah,
the
I
Holy
really
Spirit
appreciate
the
that. The gift that I
Abraham
have.
Always says, you never get it done and you can't get it wrong. And I love that.
Well, the other
really
thing that I've been holding on to is Abraham says, take care of yourself, take care of yourself, take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really been very, very helpful to me because I know I can say this on this call, that it's okay to do that.
Definitely.
But the world sometimes, I mean, maybe I should say my family, seems to think you're supposed to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm laughing, but, I mean, that's the way I was raised. You know, mm-hmm. I was in that little pattern of you're being very, very selfish if you think anything of your, you know, taking care of you rather than others. And it's become more of a mantra to me. How do I feel about this?
Yeah.
What can I do for me?
And you know what's so funny is that if you think about it, that quote, the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept atonement for himself. You can heal others. You can heal the world simply by allowing your own mind to be healed. What more from the outside looks like such a selfish thing if we're sitting there seemingly doing nothing? Like, you know, the Course is saying that this is all an inward job, and it's not that we don't do things out in the world because, you know, we might feel called to, but this is an inward journey that we've all, you know, chosen and wanted to embark on. And so from the outside, to somebody who doesn't know what it is that's, you know, going on the inside, it might not look like much, but it's actually like moving mountains.
I don't think you
can really help other people unless you help yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't put them first. Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
I agree, but I didn't know that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's... kind of a funny thing. I think it's all, we've been taught a lot of guilt, you know, and again, it's that, well, that's really, the Course is so the answer, because this is a book about not guilty.
Not,
you know,
guilty.
Not guilty. You, them, none of us, we are not guilty of anything.
And actually, I feel so much peace and happiness, and so I love that you say not guilty, not guilty, you know, because I was doing some writing earlier in the week hearing about this, and I remember when my dad passed away, it was like we were all supposed to stay up all night and just like be miserable and, you know, be in this deep grief. And I was young. This was like 40 years ago. And I am not there today. I mean, this is not like somewhere that I, you know, let's be a martyr, let's be a victim type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that, I feel extremely grateful. And also, I don't know what it's about, but I actually feel happiness and joy.
Good.
And so I can admit that, you know, to the people on this call, but you know, it's yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there's this thing too that I think is such a big part of all of this. It's really this idea that what they think of me means something, you know, that it's
yeah.
important what they think of me. What they think of me means nothing. You know, allowing what people think of you, that is such a pull. That is such an ego thing.
It is.
And it's so self-destructive. And I'm not, listen, don't think I'm at the other end of this call saying that doesn't happen to me. Because
uh-huh.
But I try, I mean, that's when you really want to get the Holy Spirit involved. It's like, come on, show me the truth here. Help me out with this. Because that is really an ego ploy to pull you down.
It is. It definitely is. Nothing that we do establishes our worth. Our worth is
absolutely.
Oh my God.
That is rich right there, that statement. I mean, it's just like
it's
so
from the
rich.
Course.
Oh my God.
I didn't come up with it, that's for sure. Let's read the next paragraph. The first sentence just makes me think of what we were just talking about. The removal of blocks, then, is the only way to guarantee help and healing. So again, that's the removal of blocks in our own mind is the only way to guarantee help and healing. Help and healing are the normal expressions of a mind which is working through the body, but not in it. If the mind believes the body is its goal, it will distort its perception of the body, and by blocking its own extension beyond it, will induce illness by fostering separation. Perceiving the body as a separate entity cannot but foster illness because it is not true. A medium of communication will lose its usefulness if it is used for anything else. To use a medium of communication as a medium of attack is an obvious confusion in purpose.
Corinne, that's what we were just talking about. Worrying about what other people think of you is what this is absolutely talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a way.
Because it's a huge block.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is a huge block to good sense and good health when you're worried about what other people think of you.
And what is that, even that statement saying, you know, worry about what other people think of me. Who's the me?
Mm-hmm.
It's the body again. It's this limited personality. And just by having, if we're caught up in that worry about what others think of me, I'm simply reinforcing the me. I'm simply reinforcing the ego. So there it is again, that sneaky damn ego getting in there and strengthening itself.
I think of Joseph with the small self,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than, you know, identifying myself, you know.
Right, capital F.
Yeah.
I thought that also that first sentence really spoke to that whole thing where we have those beliefs like, you know, it's not okay to take care of myself or whatever the, you know, the guilt thoughts are that we've been brought up with, like the removal of blocks. So the removal of that then is the only way to guarantee help and healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great, yep. A great sentence.
The more we realize that that's a block and it's not true, the more we actually will be helping other people.
Right,
helping
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Will you say that again, Paul?
Yeah, when Carol, I believe it was, said that, you know, and what she was raised and, you know, with the belief that it's not okay to take care of herself. And we all have a different, you know, thing we were brought up with that we're removing, like, Corinne said with the onions. So the removal of the blocks then, so the removal of, you know, it's not okay for me to take care of myself then, is the only way to guarantee help and healing. So when we remove that, we're actually going to be helping other people in the long run when we're helping ourselves.
Love
okay,
it. That's
you.
Perfect. You can
thank
you can insert whatever your
insert
problem
whatever.
Is. The blank then, insert problem here.
Yeah.
The removal of that, the removal of blank is the only way to guarantee help and healing.
I do that a lot with the course.
Yeah. So again, it also speaks in this paragraph to this idea that if the mind believes that the body is the goal, that's when we're losing sight of the true purpose of the body, which is communication. And if we're focused on the body as a goal, we're fostering that separation, which says induces illness, because we're using the body for something other than what it is. We're misusing it. It's pretty powerful. And it's also, however, not an opportunity to feel guilty when we get sick, because, you know, I could say, oh, crap, I have, you know, whatever, a cold, you know, again, fill in the blank, and then use that for guilt. Like, oh, the course is saying I must be, you know, choosing for separation or whatever, you know, if I'm sick. And that's, again, another sneaky ego to keep.
That's an attack thought.
Yeah, it's an attack. It's absolutely an attack thought. So, again,
yeah.
Another thing to take to the Holy Spirit.
You know, I just want to say, and I don't know if this is going to sound convoluted, but the surgeon said to my sister that, you know, this has been going on in your body for a couple years. And I think that's why I feel joy, because it's like it's being released. It's like, ooh, it's gone. That block is being removed. You know, it's like not so much the physicality of it, but the, you know, the opportunity for healing.
That's awesome. I love how you said that. It's what's making you happy is the opportunity for healing. That's beautiful.
Because I see it as, you know, it's gone. And I'm not talking about a physical piece so much. As I'm talking
awesome.
About, like Paul, you were talking about the removal of whatever. And with that brings me great joy, because I've always had this sense, and yet, you know, I mean, I know I'm very, very intuitive, and I have to be very careful what I say to certain people. And yet, to me, this gives my sister an opportunity to move forward in a whole new way.
And what are you doing, Carol? But you're joining, again, with that opportunity to heal, with, you know, the Holy Spirit within her, rather than reinforcing the fear, reinforcing the dream, reinforcing the separation. And so you're siding with healing.
I really don't feel any fear or anything. That's why it feels very comfortable saying it to people that I can. I mean, literally, I don't feel any of that. It's just a matter of, like I said, some excitement and joy and feeling comfortable with. Again, we talked about this last week about how, you know, if you hear somebody say, oh, you know, so-and-so's dying, or this is happening, or, oh, my, you know, my father just passed away. You don't say, oh, isn't that great?
Right. <know?
laughs> It's like, you know, you just don't do that on this earth plane.
Right.
Does it matter whether she sees it as an opportunity, for your sister? Does it matter whether she? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter if she sees it.
Not at all.
No, it doesn't.
It goes back to that example, that very that example that I gave with having one of my family members on the phone, and my determination to just trust that the Holy Spirit is in him, period. It doesn't mean he's going to do the right thing. It doesn't mean he's going to say the right thing. It doesn't mean he's going to see this as an opportunity for healing. I was just willing to be completely determined to see nothing but the Holy Spirit within him, even though Corinne couldn't see that. And the shift, like the almost immediate, his change in tune, this realization that he had that he was like, I just realized I have an ego. I never thought I had an ego before, but I have an ego. It was like this, I know I've shared this example before, but that's where, again, the healing happens. It's reflected outside of us. You know, we see evidence for it out there when we're doing, when we're actually, you know, again, joining with spirit within. So it's an inside job. It always comes back to us. It doesn't matter if that other person isn't a course student, if they don't, you know, see it as an opportunity for healing, it still becomes, just like Dr. Hugh Len teaches, who's the Ho'oponopono
yeah.
guy, you know, if something comes up in his awareness of some sort of, you know, issue or difficulty, well, you know, what is it in me that this person is going through a difficulty? What is it in me that, you know, that's causing this situation out there? So the healing happens inside.
Yeah.
He uses that prayer. We use the prayer also, and obviously have our, you know, our course too.
Yeah, there's
Hallelujah.
Nothing out there.
Yay. We're at the top of the hour. Thank you, thank you. Thank
How did
you.
That happen?
I know, right?
Holy smokes.
Time.
I feel like we just got on the phone.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, thank you, everybody, so much. And I'll see you next week.
Thank
oh,
you.
Thank
Have
you.
A great week.
You.
Later.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye.